Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon. Sorry, as the day is getting away from me. Welcome to the Heat of the Ministry with Pastor Linda. We've been talking about undercover, and I realized that I did a very intensive study on this a couple of years ago, and so I was going back through my Blog Talk Radio episodes, I guess you call them, and I saw that I did this a couple of years ago. So if you want, because I've been really just kind of going through this very quickly. If you want to get the breakdown of it, just go back through, I think it was 2011, 2012, but you can go back through the episodes, and they're still there. So you can go, and I believe there's like, I think I did like 14 different episodes where I broke down chapter by chapter. So if you really want to get more in on this, because I believe this is going to be the last week, and then we're going to move on as the Lord would have me move on. And so I didn't know how long I would be on this subject, but when I was doing that and I saw how extensive those were, I was like, there's no need for me to go and keep, you know, pull this out again because it's already there for you. So I would definitely say when you get the opportunity, just go download those and you can listen to them at your leisure. And we can go on because I only have a half hour here. And back then I was able to teach for a full hour. Sorry. I guess I didn't get enough sleep last night. So let's go ahead, and I might do a little bit of backtracking since this is going to be our last week on this. We started off talking about what does being undercover means. It means being under the protection and being hidden in God's secret place and understanding what true what that truly means and how we don't kick against it. Because when we're kicking against the authority figure that God has put in place, we're actually not fighting the authority, but we're fighting God. And so today I kind of want to talk about, because I kept saying that we were going to talk about this, and again, there's going to be, it's going to be even more in-depth if you go back and listen to those old, and sorry, I didn't get the dates. I just kind of was rushing when I was looking for, something else, and I kind of came across those. So I didn't really focus in on those, but they are there, and I believe it's either 2012 or 2011. It's one, it's between 2010 to 2012, put it that way. And I believe that you will be able to glean from that and really get an understanding about being undercover. But today I wanted to kind of do a rehash, and then I want to talk about when the authority that's over you is a bad authority or is someone that you know, they just not doing the right thing. How do you stay within the guidelines of being submissive and being undercover and being under God's protection even when they are, you know, just out and out wrong? And we're going to talk about that very very briefly today, but again, you can definitely go and get that information from those other episodes. And so we were talking a little bit last week about learning submission from judgment. There are always consequences to our opposition of authority. We use the example of Noah. When Ham saw Noah naked and drunk, lying asleep in his tent, he, instead of going and covering his father, he went and exposed his father. And that seems to be what we want to do. When something goes wrong, the first thing we want to do is go run our mouth and expose the person for being a fraud or expose the person for doing whatever it is that they did. And this all started back in the late 80s, early 90s, when we started having, and I know it happened before that, but the time that I think kind of transitioned it and made it seem like it was okay was when the Jimmy Swagger got exposed for his sin. And then he, you know, it was on the front of the cover. I can remember it now, him looking up to the heavens, tears in his eyes, and the words, "I have sinned." You know, and that he sinned. He did something that was wrong, but the way it was exposed wasn't right either. The Bible tells us that, you know, we should be mature enough in the church that if we have issue with someone else, we should be able to settle it in the church. We shouldn't take it outside of the church, but that's exactly what we do. We run to others to expose what's happening in the body of Christ. And when you really think about it, if we are truly a body, my hand doesn't run and tell my next door neighbor what my foot did. I'm going to say that again. My hand doesn't run and tell the next door neighbor what my foot did. If that happened, if my hand jumped off my body, ran outside my house, ran to my next door neighbor, knocked on the door, and started talking, first of all, it looks, that in itself looks crazy. Then it's telling on a part of the body that it's attached to. So my hand, although they're not directly attached, my hand and my foot are a part of the same body. So they have to work together. If my foot hurts, then the rest of my body doesn't feel well, including my hand. So we have got to remember that as if we are fitly joined together as the body of Christ, when we are a part of the body of Christ and one part isn't doing what it's supposed to do, you know, this is crazy. I was just fine until I got ready to come on and start teaching this, and now all of a sudden I can't stop yawning. This is crazy. It's crazy. But you know what? The devil is alive. We're going to get through this, yawns and all. So it looks crazy if my hand does that, but as the body of Christ, we're supposed to be fitly joined together, which means that if one part of the body is hurting or one part of the body is not functioning right, then the body is not functioning right. So what would I look like? What would my hand look like going and running off and telling somebody outside of my body what's going on in my body when it's a part of me? Because that action within itself, like I said, looks crazy. If my hand just kind of did its own thing, that looks crazy. When we say that cells are not functioning right in our body, we call that cancer. And cancer, yes, has to be cut out, or cancer has to be poisoned out of our bodies. But it happens on the inside of our body. It does not happen on the outside of our body. The cancer is not put on display so the world can see it, if you understand what I'm trying to say. The cancer is dealt with on the inside of the body, and the chemotherapy has to go on the inside of the body. The when you start juicing and all these other things that people are doing to fight against cancer now, all of that happens on the inside of the body, and the body is healed from the inside out. So therefore, that's what the body of Christ should be doing. We should be healing from the inside out as opposed to letting our insides fall out. Because if the last time I understood about the body, some of these inside parts aren't supposed to be on the outside. You know, our intestines, our hearts, our liver, our kidneys, our gallbladders, those things are hidden for a reason. And so if they decide to pop out of my body and do their own thing, not only is the body going to die, but the heart will die. So we think that we are doing the right thing by exposing our leaders for the sin that's going on in their lives, when indeed what we're doing is killing the body of Christ. So now that we've seen all of this, and now that I've said all of this, think about what has the exposure of key members of the body the exposures of people like Juanita Bynum, the exposure of people like Paula White, the exposure of people like Benny Hinn and Larry Lee back in the day and Jimmy Swaggart, what has that done to the body of Christ? Has it made us empowered or has it weakened us? Has it, you know, I mean, because I remember they went after the one guy that used to come on and said he laid over, I can't think of his name, Robert somebody. He said he laid over the thing and he would lay over the prayer request and pray, and then he said that something happened, the ink sinked into his face from his tears or something. Something he said, I can't remember right now, but, you know, he stopped laying over it because it was beginning to irritate and cause irritation in his skin. And, you know, and people then got on him because, you know, all of these, you know, look at Jim Baker and what his exposure, how it tore his family apart. Not only tore his family apart, he went to jail. Not only did he go to jail, he lost everything behind it. And so the body of Christ, what I see is that we can be the most unforgiving people. I recently had somebody attack me for something that I did personally. They attacked me, or I should say professionally, they attacked me personally, and they came against my ministry. And their thing was, what kind of woman of God are you? What kind of this are you? And I remember listening to that, and for 6 weeks that bothered me, because for 6 weeks it had me thinking, you know what, maybe God, maybe this woman is right. You know, she's a woman of God, I'm a woman of God, supposedly, and, you know, I made a mistake. I thought I was helping, and instead of going to God and praying about the situation, I took matters into my own hands, which we should never do. But I thought I was helping, and I was actually hindering. And so not only did I hinder her, I hindered myself. And so now I have this thing, this dark cloud that's looming over me, right? And she's threatening not just to make, you know, get it right, Linda, but she's threatening to go to all these people that have nothing to do with it and tell them what I did. And basically it's a misunderstanding. It's her perspective and my perspective, and they don't meet. And so she went to these other people and she told them what was going on, and now they don't know what to believe. And so, and I thank God that at the end of the day, I said, God, I need someone to know my character, know what Linda would and what Linda wouldn't do, and I need for them to shine forth. And I remember having a conversation with somebody, and I was talking to them, and they said, this is an attack of the enemy. This has nothing to do with you. This has nothing to do with her. This is the enemy trying to attack what you're trying to do in ministry, trying to attack what you're trying to do in business, trying to attack you as a person, because if he can get you to throw in the towel, then everything that God has promised you, everything that you're supposed to do, will not happen. It's a spiritual attack. And so what I had to get in my mind is that this, you know, yes, I made a mistake. Repent for the mistake, which I did. Make right the mistake, which I did. But the thing was, I had to go in and then say, God, now that I've repented, not only have I repented to you, but I repented to her. And not only did I repent, I made restitution. Not only did I make restitution, I went over and above. You see what I'm saying? So I did everything that I needed to do to make this situation right. It didn't remove that it happened, but I did what was necessary. I took ownership of it. I did everything that a woman of God would do. But the devil would have had me think that I, even in doing all of that, I still was not a true woman of God. And so what we have to understand is that she and I are sisters, and we are members of the same body. And so what God told me to do, because I was about to go on a vindication, I was about to go on a protect your assets, protect who you are, protect all of this, because she is coming, because I was looking at it as it's me against her. And God said, have this person come in and say, no, it's the enemy, and you are not going to give the enemy any more foothold. You're not going to give him any more room to come in and tell you who you are, because I've already decreed and declared who you were. And so when we do things like that, we have got to remember that we are being a tool, not a vessel of honor for God, but a vessel of honor for Satan, not a vessel of dishonor for Satan. We're not dishonoring Satan. We're dishonoring our God, because he's the one that says that we are a body and he's the head. And so we have got to remember that when we are put in a place of leadership, when we are put in a place where we might do something wrong, or the people over us might do something wrong, there has to be prayer. There may need to be fasting. Hear me and hear me good. There has to be prayer and fasting that the Lord will do what he needs to do so the situation can be rectified. Because believe me, if you stay in your post, on your post, if you stay in that right place and you do not allow yourself to get sucked in by the enemy that is the accuser of the brethren. He is the accuser of the brethren. If we get in that spot where we then push Satan out of the way and say, let me accuse the brethren, and guess who you're acting like? Guess who your father is? And it may be that they did that very thing. I'm not saying I didn't do anything wrong, but what I did wrong was not what she perceived it to be. It was not what she was thinking I was doing. She allowed somebody else to get into her ear gate and tell her half-truths that were not the truth. And so, therefore, she took it and she ran with it, and I had to then, once I talked to the person, they said it was a spiritual attack, then I got with my prayer warriors that have known me since I was a child, and I said, look, I need us to pray because I need to hear from God, because you guys of all people know my ins, my outs, my ups, my downs. You guys know me, so let's pray and see what God will say. And God came in and said, you know what, forget all this other stuff that you're doing. Forget all of that, because all of that stems from you still trying to work it out in your strength. What I need you to understand is you never came to me first. If you would have prayed about it first, you wouldn't be in the situation and you wouldn't have to try to fix it. Somebody gonna catch that. And so God didn't deal with that situation. He said, let's go to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is you didn't pray. The root of the problem, you didn't acknowledge me in all of your ways. And so you're looking at your leader and thinking that your leader is making a huge mistake because they're talking crazy, they're doing crazy, they're not doing things that you think they ought to be doing. And so you're looking at them that way, but God is saying, no, it's even deeper than that. They didn't even come to me and pray. So I need you to stop trying to talk about them and stop trying to get people to agree with you and running your mouth on them. I need you to come and talk to me about this situation, because somebody has to inquire of the Lord what needs to be done. And so when you inquire of the Lord what needs to be done, he will rectify the situation. And if that leader needs to be removed, the leader will be removed. If that leader needs to be corrected, it will be corrected, because it'll be corrected the right way. It'll be corrected by God, because God is the one to put that person in place. So sometimes we get ourselves into trouble because we want to go in and we want to correct them, but correcting our leader is not our job. Our job is to be submitted to our leader and know that God will handle it. It's the same way that when we do things like, and we use the other example of Miriam and Aaron. Now, Moses married outside of Israel, and the Lord God had given them rules, had given them laws that they couldn't do that. What he did was wrong. However, Miriam and Aaron thought they would exalt themselves above or equal to Moses, and God said, what you doing? I speak to Moses face to face. Y'all are imposters right now. y'all don't even get to beat up on what God was saying in my way. Because, you know, I like to put Linda on God so I can understand what he's trying to say to the people. What he was saying was, y'all don't even rank this high. This pay grade is above your head. This is not even your pay grade, and you trying to come up and talk to the person that I put into place. You trying to talk to him out the side of your neck, and you above your pay grade. That's what we got to understand. We got to understand God does everything decently and in order. He doesn't allow you to step out of order so you can do the right thing. Doing the right thing is never stepping out of order. So we have to remember that spiritual authority is appointed. While it is true that God appoints all authority, it is possible that we place ourselves in positions we were never given or before we were given them. So what does that mean? That means that somebody went before they were sent. Okay? Somebody went before they were sent. And it takes a whole lot, because when you get a prophecy that you are going to be a pastor, you're going to be an apostle, a bishop, a this or that, you get this and you look at yourself and you be like, oh, Lord, I got to start moving in this because I believe the word of the Lord. Sometimes we can get ahead of God. Because he may mean that you're going to be a pastor 5 years from now, because there's still a process that you have to go through. So many pastors, so many leaders are in positions that they put themselves in because, yeah, they got a word from the Lord that said that that's who they are, but they weren't ready for it yet. Remember, God sees the finished product. He sees us as we will be. We see ourselves as we are. And there's a huge difference. So when a prophetic word comes out, sometimes it's showing you your future, not your present. And we have to understand that. When we assume a position of authority without God's appointment, we are exalting ourselves above what God has established. God's timing is essential in this. You can be called, but not yet appointed. Jesus appoints the service offices of service. No one can place a human being in these positions of authority except the Lord. And he does it by the Spirit of God. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought." 1 Timothy 3:10 says, "But let these also first be tested, then let them serve." So there is a process that you must go through before you can get to the point where you start appointing yourself as the chief. Okay? Remain an Indian until God appoints you as chief. When God appoints you as chief, then you don't make the silly mistakes and you don't get ahead of yourself. And then because of your lack of maturity for that position, make mistakes that cause people to want to rebel against your authority. The same is true for someone. Say you are up under someone that appointed themselves, and you know because God has told you their authority is illegitimate, and their authority is ill-gotten. Whatever they may say, however he may show you, he's not showing you that so you can rebel against their authority. Because remember, whether it's good or bad, that authority God allowed. Look at Pharaoh. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. Look at what was the man's name? Ceres. Jesus, in the Bible, when you read, it says that God appointed these people. God sent these people to prove a point to Israel. So there are times when God will send something that you will feel, even in Abeka, the Chaldeans. God sent them to terrorize the Israelites so the Israelites could remember what it meant to be a true servant of God. So you may be in a situation where God is trying to teach you something, but instead of you learning your lesson, you kicking against the brick. You kicking against the lesson and saying, this ain't of God. I need to get out of here because this stuff right here ain't right, and I'm not going to stand in it. I ain't going to get tainted. You said all the good stuff, but the thing you're not remembering is that rebellion is witchcraft, and you are in rebellion. So do not get discouraged when you are in a waiting period. Don't get discouraged when you're in a waiting period. You're trying to get yourself, you know, God has spoken to you and, you know, and it's been acknowledged by man that, yes, that's who you are, and you're ready to run with the ball, but God, there's something holding you back. Right now I'm in a waiting period. I'm in a holding period, and I'm like, God, I don't even understand this, because there have been people that have been less qualified than me that have been blessed and sent. But me, I've been sat on. Is it only because I'm a woman? Is it only because I'm Linda? Is it only because, and I have to just shut up and say, God, you know what? You know better than I. They could have shut me down all the way. They didn't. So let me do what they allowed me to do, and let me do it. That's the best that I can do it. Let me stay focused on what it is, because you called me to this. It's already been a knowledge. It's already been appointed. It's already been put into place. Let me go through the process. And when I come out on the other side of the process, I will be a better leader. I will be a better pastor. I will be exactly what you want me to be for the city of San Francisco, even though I'm in this holding pattern, and it seems like I'm being held for no reason. So let's talk a little bit, because I've been throwing out that word rebel, rebel, rebellion, rebellion, rebellion. And I said, if you caught it, I said rebellion is witchcraft. I didn't say it's as witchcraft. I said it is witchcraft. Because when you study that scripture, you find out that rebellion is witchcraft. It's not compared to witchcraft. It is witchcraft. Read the word, study the background, do the study of the words, and you will find out that in the brackets, it says as is. It says rebellion is as. And as is in brackets, which means that that word was placed there to make it flow better. But that's not the word that was actually in the original text. So when you remove that word as, it says rebellion is witchcraft. All right. So let's go here. Rebellion is contagious. What caused Lucifer to fall? Rebellion. What caused Adam to fall? Rebellion. What causes many to drift in their walk with God? Rebellion. What is really sobering is that most rebellion is not blatant, but subtle. We should be very watchful regarding rebellion, because you know what it's rebellion is like that of being offended. You know, sometimes you get offended and you can just, you know what, it's water off a duck's back. It's okay. Then there's other times you get offended, and that last offense and this current offense now marry one another. And so this, even though both of them were small offenses, now it's a little bit bigger because they've married each other. And then the next offense comes, and before you know it, you are in full-on rebellion. Why? Because these little foxes killed the vine. Romans 16, 17 through 18 says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talking and flattering, they deceive the minds of naive people. So you got to remember that people will come in and be like, ooh, I can't believe they did that to you. Why they do that to you? Because it happened to me, people. I'm talking what I know. I'm talking what I know. It happened to me. These good-minded, good-will, good people came up, and they're like, well, why you? What's going on? place where there was no point of return for me. Hear me and hear me good. You have got to understand that you cannot allow those people in your ear, because even if you're wise enough to catch it the first time, the second time, there's going to come a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 17th, 20th, 30th, 100th time, and boom, before you know it, you're walking in rebellion. And rebellion is what? Witchcraft. A rebellious person will draw others into their deception. Let me see where I'm at. Okay, we got a little bit more time. Thank you, Holy Ghost. A rebellious person will draw others into their deception. When a person is deceived, the thing that keeps them going is finding agreement. They look for agreement in their rebellion, and it fuels their deception. See, I talked about earlier how she went out, in my situation, she went out and she started talking to other people, but had someone stood up and said, you know what, that is not the Linda that I know. I don't know what's going on, but let's get Linda on the phone and let's get down to the bottom of it. You know what I'm saying? If someone had said that, there would have been a abruptness to where she would have had to think, wait a minute, that's not the Linda I know either. So maybe I don't have all the facts. Maybe the information I was given isn't correct, because I don't know Linda to be that way. But because of emotions, because of offense, she wasn't thinking. She was emotional, and that's what God was showing me. This isn't an emotional thing. This doesn't have anything to do with what was going on. This is she's feeling betrayed because she's been told something opposite of what you have told her, and so now she doesn't know what to believe. And because our relationship was new and in the beginning stages, she didn't have a lot to go on, but she had enough to know that that wasn't who I was. But because her emotions were involved, she could not come to that conclusion. But had somebody that known me a little bit longer said, hey, wait a minute, this is not who she is. Let's get to the bottom of this. This thing would have been resolved much quicker. But God told me not to defend myself, to close my mouth, because you don't want to agree with it. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to add fuel to the flame. They look for agreement in their rebellion, and it fuels their deception. Be careful never to add fuel to the fire of a rebellious person. The Bible tells us to just stay away from them. When you are truly saved and seeking God, you will be able to recognize the authority that God has placed in churches and stay under the cover of his authority. Whose authority? God's authority. So you've got to stop looking at that man. You got to look to the one who put the man in place. You got to stop looking at that woman and look to the one who put that woman in place. God takes the subject of authority very seriously, and often disobedience in this area is dealt with harshly. Learn these principles of authority and walk them out. Authority is there for your protection. Read Romans chapter 13. That'll tell you how God views authority. That will tell you it right then and there. That breaks it down. It gives you no ifs, no ands, no buts, no wiggle room. It's right there in black and white. Learn these principles of authority and walk them out. Authority is there for your protection, offering a covering, as comforting as a blanket. Honoring your authority is essential to your spiritual progress, and it aids in the prolonging of your spiritual development. You need to understand that as you develop spiritually, you've got to be submitted to someone. You've got to be in God's perfect order. You've got to understand, even if that person is not a good person. I can't remember the scripture, but I believe it's in Peter. It says that the hand of the heart of the king is in the hand of God, and he turns it whichever way he will. That to me says a lot. So whether it's a good leader or a bad leader, if you are on your face praying and seeking God and asking God to direct your path and to cover your leader and to deal with your leader in whatever manner that God sees fit when your leader is doing something that is not right, not biblical, not according to the will and the purposes of God, then you see God deal with them, and you see him deal with them in a way that you don't get scarred, that you don't get messed up, that you don't forfeit what God has for you. So from this lesson that we've been talking about, I have a question from you. From this lesson, what stood out most to you about spiritual authority? Because you've got to understand, if you are a leader, if you're going into ministry, you've got to understand God's spiritual authority, because guess what? When you start going out and doing what you're going to do, if you're already doing it, you've got to know how to move in the authority. When you go to somebody else's house, even though you might have your own ministry and they have their own ministry, when you go into their house, you are subject to them. But if you don't know how to be submitted to your own leadership, there's no way you're going to be submitted to theirs. And let me also put these on you. Here's some extra homework, if you will. Can you recall a major lesson you have learned regarding spiritual authority and how it has blessed your life since learning it? Has there been a time when God set you down and taught you a lesson in spiritual authority? And if he took the time to teach you the lesson, there has to be a blessing attributed to it. There has to be a blessing attached to it. I know at first I didn't think that the situation I went through was a blessing, but now looking back at it, it was a blessing, because guess what? Not only did it teach me, girl, you better acknowledge God in all your ways and never, ever, 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 ever do this again. Not only did it teach me that, but now it teaches me how to have compassion on people that don't understand where I'm coming from people that might have a different viewpoint. I now know that I don't have to retaliate. I don't have to cover myself and protect myself. God will protect me. And woe to them that come against me when I duck under the shadow of the Almighty. You see what I'm saying? Woe to them. It's not that I'm using God as a go get them, God, or I messed up, now go get them. No, that's not it at all, because God dealt harshly with me first. But then once he said, now that I've dealt with you and I told you what you did wrong and you were repenting for that, now let me tell you what I'm going to do about the situation. And God leveled it out. He, where there's no bitterness in my heart. I can talk about it without saying, yeah, she did that thing to me. I don't have to feel that way. I don't have to belittle her as a woman of God. She's still a respected woman of God in my eyesight. I still love and cherish her the same way I did before all of this happened. There's no love lost there. There's no bitterness. There's no resentment. There's no hatred. Even though I know what she has done, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. The devil can't use it. We talk on the phone now. So there's nothing there. There's nothing there. But the lesson is, now I know. You know, the Bible says, mark them among you. Now I know. Now I know. So we may never be what we were, but we'll never be what the devil thought we were going to be. You understand what I'm saying? That's not going to happen, at least not on my end, because I've given it over to God, and God has leveled it out, and he's put a love in my heart for my sister. He's put a love in my heart for that other body part, because I need to work with her. I need to be able to function, and she needs to be able to function. And so it's not me, the hand, running off to tell the neighbor. It's nothing like that. I respect her authority, and she respects mine. And that's where we have to get to. That's what we have to do. That's what makes it worth that's what makes the lesson worth the while. That's the blessing in learning the lessons that God shows you. Number two. So number one, can you recall a major lesson you have learned regarding spiritual authority and how it has blessed your lives since you've learned it? Number two, use your concordance to search or a search engine to find other scriptures on authority and read over them daily. Until you can get this, because remember I said that I had gotten away from this, and by me studying and bringing this back to you, it then showed me, not only did it show me some areas where Linda had forgotten and started acting crazy and was like, oh, Lord, please forgive me because I know better. I had lost my mind for a second, but now that you've reminded me, let me repent and let me start doing what's right. But it also then it causes you to, when those situations come up, you're more keen to them. You're more aware of them. It's easier for you to see it coming up from afar and say, okay, let me move out of the way because I don't need to be a part of it. Because, again, as a leader, we attract who we are. And if we are rebellious, then that means the people under us are going to be rebellious. And if you don't want to have to deal with rebellion, stop rebelling. I'm going to say it again. If you don't want to have to deal with rebellion, stop rebelling. Because who you are is what you're going to attract. And it's not going to be just one person. You sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. So you look at, you go, and then you get Tasmanian devil coming back at you. That's what happens. So we got to understand, God is not mocked. Whatsoever we sow, that we shall reap. What you put into the ground is what's going to come out of the ground. And it doesn't come out one. It comes out, if you plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree. If you plant a grape or a grape seed, you're going to get a vine. You understand what I'm saying? It don't come back. You're not going to get just one person rebelling in your church. You might have a church full of rebellers, a church full of rebellion. And you'll be, what did I do to deserve this? Well, what you did was you sowed rebellion, and now you're harvesting rebellion. So that is all that I have, and I'm going to go ahead and end on that note. We only got a minute left. We will be back next week with Lunch with Pastor Linda Monday through Thursdays at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time. And next week we